Good morning. Good to see old friends today. Look forward to visiting with the McKenzies later. Very disappointed to hear that there's no Sunday school today. I was looking forward to the Matt McKenzie Sunday school class. Yeah. I do have one word of encouragement for you. As you're looking in your bulletin, you see it says the message, the Reverend Ivan Lambert, senior pastor. No cause for alarm. There was not a secret elders meeting this week. Well, as you know, our second scriptural lesson today is our text for today. The setting is that Jesus is in Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals, one of the feasts. We don't know which one it was. To John, it wasn't significant to what he was about to tell his readers. Jesus being in Jerusalem for this feast, there is a pool there which was called Bethesda. And this was a pool much like maybe some of our modern technology were like a whirlpool. And people would go to there and rest in the pool for stiffness and to be healed to some temporary level that they could be. And lying there around this pool, we're told that there were folks who were lame, blind, paralyzed. One man in particular has the attention of Jesus, and we see that Jesus saw him. It'd be great sometimes to do just a quick little reference through the Gospels and see how many times it mentions Jesus saw someone, Jesus seeing them with compassion like no other. And Jesus sees this one, and we're told in particular that this man had been an invalid for 38 years. So this is not a case where you're watching television and someone comes forward and claims instant healing, but none of it can be documented because nobody knows who the guy is. This man has been known for 38 years to be an invalid. His life, an invalid. And Jesus sees the man with compassion and asks the man, "Do you want to be healed?" Hello? Does he want to be healed? I don't think Jesus was insulting him at all. But Jesus was, in this way, getting the man to acknowledge he was in the presence of the one who could heal him. If you want to be healed, I'm the one who can do it. And so Jesus asked the man if he wanted to be healed. The man, not yet understanding, says, "Well, I need someone to help me and carry me down to the pool. And I've tried to get in many times, and others are so selfish, they just run in and get in before me. And so I can never be healed." And Jesus simply speaks the word. "Get up and take your mat and go on home." The man picked up his mat and began to walk. And miraculously was instantly, not gradually, healed. Well, Jesus made his way through the crowd, and the man didn't even get Jesus' name. But later, there in the festival, in the feast, the man did run across Jesus again, and he got his name, and he goes and he runs across, and he's telling the Jewish leaders about this man, Jesus. And so we pick it up with our scriptural lesson for today in John chapter 5 and verse 16. That so, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. What? I mean, you would think the religious leaders would be happy and excited. I mean, if we're becoming more like God, aren't we to be happy for others who've been suffering? In particular, for this man who'd been suffering for all of us 38 years. Unable to walk? I mean, what happened to blessed are the merciful, right? For they will receive mercy. I mean, what happened to be kind and tenderhearted to others because God is kind and tenderhearted and forgiving to us? No, we don't read that they were happy and excited and patting him on the back and giving him high fives. What we read in verse 12 is that they asked Jesus, "Who is this man who told you to take up your mat and walk?" And so that's the question we're asking today. Who is this man? Who is this child that was laid in a manger some 2,000 years ago? And so because Jesus was doing these things, what? Making people's life better? Getting a kick out of healing somebody and watching them walk and be thrilled that they could do that for the first time in their life? So because Jesus was doing these types of things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Now imagine being there in the crowd and seeing this confrontation take place. You're actually going to get to be sort of a fly on the wall today. You're going to get to witness this conversation, a summarized form of what happened in that conversation, as John summarizes this for us. Now, how did Jesus respond? Well, there are times when they confront him on the Sabbath or regarding Sabbath issues that Jesus does, in fact, debate them. Does debate them regarding Sabbath laws and interpretation of the Old Testament, but not here. Jesus decides at this point, being the all-wise and all-knowing teacher, not time for that. You know, Ecclesiastes 3 does tell us there is a time and a place for everything under heaven. And so there's a time to debate certain things, and there's a time not to. It's kind of like that little couplet of Proverbs that we have. Answer a fool according to his folly and show him the foolishness of his way. You know, go down, take him down the route logically and show him the conclusion of his thesis that he's making. But, of course, the other proverb that is right there in that couplet says, answer not a fool according to his folly. In other words, there's a time just to say, your mind's made up. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still, as the old saying says. There's just no need for it. And so Jesus, knowing the situation, decides, nope, not going there. Not the time or the place. Not going to discuss Sabbath today. And so in verse 17, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day. And I too am working. Jesus, we're trying to get you to talk about the Sabbath laws here. You are breaking them. You have no business healing this man and encouraging this man to break the Sabbath by carrying his mat. If you're curious about that, they had, by this time, history has unveiled for us, uncovered for us, that they had created 39 different categories of work that were strictly prohibited on the Sabbath. That is, their oral traditions and what they had written down and how they were interpreting the Sabbath. And one of those was that, why, you couldn't even carry anything from one house to another. That was work. And so, how dare you, Jesus, get this man to be parading around carrying his mat? And how dare you heal him on the Sabbath? You're not to be doing that type of work on the Sabbath. And Jesus takes the discussion and decides, let's not talk about Sabbath laws. Let's talk about who I am. For you see, what Jesus is going to be saying is that who I am trumps Sabbath laws. Who I am trumps Sabbath interpretation. So what's important right now is that you realize my Father is always at work. He's upholding this universe. The earth is continuing to, you know, as we would say some 2,000 years later, we understand what he means by that to some degree. The earth is continuing in its orbit. And God is upholding that every day. And on that day, the Father was always at his work, and Jesus is saying, and I too am working. I am doing just what the Father would have me do. But even more than that, Jesus had the nerve to say, my Father. For God was the transcendent God of the universe. Yes, the creator of the universe. And the Pharisees believed that indeed. They believed Genesis 1. But who on earth had the right to say, my Father? And who had the right to say that, well, as the Father's working, so am I also. I'm acting just like my Father.
the God of the universe.
Now, I met a woman recently. Our oldest son, David, was home for a brief time. He's swims in college, and they have to report back actually tomorrow. His mother was not very happy about that. She missed her baby, her firstborn. And he has to report back for swim practice tomorrow. And as he came home for just a brief stay, and I took him to the gym so he could work out again, and this woman approached us and said, "Well, I know whose son he is." And evidently there's a strong resemblance there, genetics. And Jesus has the nerve to say that as the Father is working today, doing good things all day, on the Sabbath day, so too I am working. Now, can you imagine watching that? Someone is actually claiming, a human being is claiming that as God is working, so he